Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Bava Kama, daf Nun Tes, and we're here about 20 or so lines up on Nun Ches Mabez with the story Ahu Gavra. Again, if you remember yesterday, the last thing we had said is basically that you evaluate if a person, if there's damage that is done by a person's mammon, by a person's property, let's say that by an animal, if this, for example, so you're going to evaluate the damage that the animal does to the field by bishishim, right? You maximize, you either multiply the amount of damage by 60 and then figure out how much that would sell and then take that away from 160th. But long story short, you don't evaluate the actual item that was damaged. You evaluate it in the context of shishim, of a field that is 60 times whatever was damaged. So basically, the Gemara says the story like this: Ahu gavra dekatz kashba mechavre. There's a guy who cut down somebody's palm tree, and also the kamei de resh galusa. He went to resh galusa for a psak, and Amalei said to him, "L'didi chazili utlasa talasa bekina." Right? So the guy, the Rish Kalusha said, I saw these trees, and it's there were three trees together, and three palm trees together. I have a shavu me'azuze, and they were together. Those three trees together was worth 100 zuz. And zil havlei tolasin v'tolasa v'tilta. So basically, he told him to pay the value of a palm tree, right? Pay one third. Right, obviously three trees into 100. I told him to pay 33 1/3 zuz. Amar gabereish galusa the dain dina de barso. Amalei said, "What do you? One second, this is Persian law. This is not Jewish law." Right, azul kamei Rav Nachman amar le b'shishim. And sure enough, he went to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "No, you evaluated b'shishim." So amalei Rav said to Rav Nachman, "Amru beniske mamon, yomru beniske gufo." Rav says, "One second, when we said you evaluated b'shishim, that's only if your mamon, if your property, your sheep, your animal, whatever, etc., does some damages. But if the guy himself does damages, mecha tesi, where do we say that we kind of evaluate b'shishim?" Right, and again, in that case, the mazik is getting, getting a break here. We're not evaluating the actual damages, just how much it would cost if you took out 1/60th of the field. Obviously, it's not going to be that much. So mecha tesi, the guy actually went biadayim, right, and his own, he did the damage. So what mecha tesi that you're going to do? You're going to judge a b'shishim. You have to pay the entire value. So when I buy the Rava, Rava says, "Miske gufo, my datich." What's your logic that by miske gufo, right, you won't necessarily use a b'shishim? Right, what? Why? So he says it must be a bai. He says the Tanya based on the following brisa. Now this is going to be a long brisa, we'll see. We'll prove that mechatesi that you could evaluate in this way. So anyway, but so the Tanya learned in the brisa hamavkir karmo shel chaveiro. If a person destroys his fellow's vineyard, right, his friend's vineyard, if it's smadar, if the fruit is starting to come out, then rono, so we evaluate it. We evaluate how much it was worth before, how much it was worth after. The Bryce says nothing to do with shishim. So Bryce says to Rava, that must have been your source, right? Because the Bryce doesn't mention shishim, it just says how much it was worth before, how much it was worth after. And then you split the difference, right? And then you evaluate the difference, and then that's what he has to pay. That's not shishim. So it must be that you thought that was the mucker for the fact that if you damage something, be a dime with your own hands, for the mazik himself, he's going to have to pay the value. So the problem is that you have the same verbiage by a different case. And we'll see in a second, that also doesn't mention shishim, but it definitely means shishim. So we're going to have a long brice over here. This is the long brice. I just kind of jumped the gun a little bit. But this is going to be the long brice that basically explains, right, this lashon of what doesn't mention shishim, right, is not always exact, because sometimes we mean shishim, we just don't mention it. So yeah, so the Gemara says, but by damage by a person's animal, right, we also kind of phrase it in the same way, right, and the chora, we're still going to mean shishim, because again, we just had yesterday's daf basically just talked about that we're going to evaluate it by shishim. So Gemara says, the Tanya is one of the brisa. Katma netia, if an animal, right, cut off a tree, right, a young tree, netia, right, a planted tree. Rabbi Yossi Omer goes re exeris shubishalayim omer netia bas shnasa shtei kesef, and bas shtei shanim arba kesef. The people who make exeris in Yerushalayim, Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, goes re exeris four lines up. Admon v'chanan ben Avshalom. Okay, those two guys, and the end of Ksuba, so they were mentioned. So I happen not to remember, but okay, they were mentioned apparently at the end of Ksubas. So they made the following decree, the following zera, right? Bas shnasa, right? A one-year-old is going to be two kezev, a two-year-old is going to be four kezev. Okay, the akla chazes, if it ate new grain, meaning grain that had just, you know, just come out of the ground, I mean, it's not, you know, full ripe grain. Rabbi Yosef says, nidon b'mishuyar shebo. Right, we evaluate it based on what is left. And what we'll see in a second, meaning we evaluate it based on, what's it called? Based on how much it could have led to. Meaning we view right, how much those stocks would have been worth at harvest time, not right now. And meaning the future value, future potential value. We're going to come back to this. That's why I'm harping on it. Rabbi Yosef Gluli says we evaluate it based on future potential value. Well, we see how much it's worth. And how much it's worth after the damage. And then you split the difference. And again, we don't mention shishim. Achlas madar, and again we're going to come back to that for a second, we'll see in a second. Achlas madar, if the animal ate this madar, right, this fruit, the stuff that grows as soon as the fruit buds, if it ate this madar stuff, right, it's the very young fruit, again, it's similar, not exactly the same phraseology. Rabbi Yeshua says we view it as if they were actual grapes, meaning that if they, you know, again, the future potential value that they ended up being grapes. Again, we see, you know, based on the difference, how much it's worth now, how much it's worth after the damage, right? And we don't talk about how much it would be worth when it was harvested. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Shimon, Medvar says, what is that? That's only if the animal ate these the leaves. What's it called? Of the grapes or the leaves of the figs. If ate pagim is figs that are half ripe. Boser as grapes that are half ripe. So then Ronos Okilo and Novim Omdili Boser. Then we do. Then we're going to view them as if they were completely ripe because they're already, they had begun the ripening process. Katani Mias, but the bottom line is the point, again, that was a long bride. I said to prove, what did the Chachamim say? Chachamim Omen, Ronos Okilamahi Haisayafa, Vakamahi Yafa. Right, again, if an animal damages, we view based on how much it was worth, how much it is worth now after the damage, and obviously he pays the difference. For Lokatani Shishim, we say nothing about Shishim. Elamais Lachamimar, Bashishim, Hakanami Bashishim. So rather, it must be that we just happen not to mention shishim, and therefore, again, Rava, your proof that you use that brisa to prove that if a person is mazik be'adayim, you don't pay shishim because it doesn't mention it. Well, yeah, we don't always mention it, right? It must be that it meant shishim. Fine. Okay, now back to what we're going to kind of analyze this brisa for a bit. Amar Abaye says like this: Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Davar Echad. Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Shmuel, right, hold the same. Again, the same. Rabbi Yosef Glili had said again, if the animal eats grain that had just grown, that had just sprouted, but we evaluate it based on how much it would have grown into, right? And we pay based on the harvest value. So Rabbi Yosef Glili, where we just said that in a second, Rabbi Shmuel, that says that we value based on future potential value. The Tanya's London Abraisa. Metav Sadeu, Metav Karmel Yushalim. The Pasuk says you pay from the best field or the best vineyard. Fine. Metav Sadeu Shalnizak, Metav Karmel Shalnizak, right? Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Right? We quoted this a couple of times in the Masechta. How you pay based on the Nizak, right? The guy who got damaged, right? His best vineyard. That Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, right, that is lo b'kozer v'lo b'gavos in ezikim in the edis, right, and we call b'chomer l'hekdesh, right, comes to tell you, right, that you're collecting the best field from the mazik, from the guy who damaged it. So again, what Rabbi Shmuel seems to be saying, and this is not, we use this for a different machlokas, right, and again, if you remember, you have fields ABC of the mazik, and fields ABC of the nizak, right, and they don't line up, right, who's do you choose, the best of this, the best of that, okay, we had that before, we're not going to do that right now, we're going to use a different application of this machlokas. Right, again, the implication is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, right, that you pay metav sadeu, right, when he said the nizak, you pay based on the best land of the Nizak, right? It seems to be saying, right, it seems to be implying that even if you didn't damage the best field of the Nizak, if you damaged his mediocre field, you'd still pay according to the best field of the Nizak. So the Gemara says that's not actually the pshat. Right? V'lo tamei k'rav idi bar oven. Don't say like Rav Idi bar oven. Damar Rav Idi bar oven. K'gon she'achal aruga bein harugos. V'lo yadina ikhucha havai ish mein havai. Right? And don't say that according to Rav Idi bar oven, who understands that the case is that the animal ate some sort of vegetables and we're not sure if it was the good stuff or the bad stuff. Right? If it was khusha, weak, or thin, And Shemena fat, okay, whatever. The Amar Kum Shlim Shemena, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying, go pay the best stuff. That's not what he's saying, right? But Meita of the Ika the Hashta, meaning the best type of vegetables. The Chil Lo Amrin in my time, I'm Motzei Chomechav El Avraya. We don't the Chil Lo Amrin, we don't say that. Because my time, Amotzei Chavei Al Avaraya, we don't say that. Meaning, we say Amotzei Chavei Al Avaraya, and if you have a suffix, we don't say like Rabbi Dibar Avin. That's not Rabbi Shmuel's pshat. So what's Rabbi Shmuel's pshat? And so Rabbi is going to explain, like we just said, in the name of Rabbi Yosei Glili, Ela B'meitav D'Lekamei, right? My ninu hai ki haich this suffix. Meaning, we say that Rabbi Shmuel is going to pay. Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold that the guy pays based on. When the value is highest, and when the value of the field, right, is highest, is b'meitav, is the best point of the field. When is that? That's when it is harvested. That's when it's gathered. So even if you damage the field before that, right, you're still going to pay, just like Rabbi Yosei Glili said, right, based on a right, future potential of the value and based on the produce that is harvested. Omar Mar, we said that again in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Pamedvar Murim, Sha'achlo Love Gifonim, Vichure Ta'inim, where the animal ate, right, the leaves, right, of the grapes or the fig trees. Right, the Gemara says, implying that Hasmadar, that if you ate this first budded grapes, we view it as if, right, they're ready, right, they're fully ripe, and you have to pay based on that. Problem is that the implication is, if you eat half-ripe figs or grapes, right, we view those that as if they're ready to be picked. Hasmadar, but if it's before that, meaning at the first stage, right, when the fruit just buds and fruit just starts growing, but we just evaluate, right, the damages. Meaning, what's the implication here? Meaning, the Pasha says there are three cases over here. There's a case of smadar, which is the first part of growth. There's the case of pagim ubosar, which is the half ripe, and then there's lulavi gefanim and the ta'inim, right? That I would imagine is the last level. So the question is, what is the implication on the middle? In the middle case, so the Bryce seems to have a stira. It seems to imply, right? Do we view it as if it's fully ripe or not? So Ravina says, Krochutani, kind of packages all together, right, and teaches Bryce as follows. When do we evaluate, when we say the land, when we the damaged stuff versus the not damaged stuff, meaning, and we just take the difference. So that's Bizman Shachal Lover Gefanim Vichuritainim. That's when he ate the leaves or the shoots of the vines and the fig trees. Aval achla smadar pagan ubosa rona sunki iluhe anavim umdeus libaser. But if you eat this half ripe fruit, then we view them as if they are fully ripe. So Gemara just points out, Yahweh, that's true, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua. Well, that's the same sheet as Rabbi Yeshua, who also says that the smadar are viewed as if they're ready to be picked, if they're ready to be, harvested. So Gimenayus, Karash Gufna, Velo Mesayme. So the Nafkamina is, right, again, depending on whether, again, the value of the vine or the tree, but again, that usually gives nutrients to the fruit. So when you take that off of when you take the buds off of the fruit, the budding fruit off of the tree, so then the tree is left with all the nutrients. The question is, if you take that, right, if you cheshbon that out into the calculation. But we're not sure, right, who holds what. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Misayim. No, we do know. Mantana dechayesh lechachash gofna, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is the one who holds, who cheshbons out the fact that the vine is now weaker, or stronger, right, if you take off the fruit, etc., and you leave the nutrients in there. The Tanya is willing to Rabbisa, Rishim ben Yehuda, Omer, Rishim ben Manasseh, Onus, again, a different case. I mean, this is a completely different case, but again, you'll see in a second the comparison. It's not a stretch, Chas V'Shalom, because the Gemara makes a comparison, but it's going to seem at first jarring. Rishim ben Yehuda, Omer, says the name of Rishim ben Manasseh, Onus, Enem Shalom, Esetzar. Someone, God forbid, rapes a woman, he's not going to pay for tsar, for the pain of rupturing her hymen. Because eventually, right, she would have had this pain with her husband. And tachlis is, again, that's something that's going to happen anyway. And just because the guy, made her experience the pain that she's eventually going to have afterwards. All right, so lechora, that he's saying that you're not going to have to pay that in the future. So Amar lo, they said to him, Eino doma nivelas bratzim, nivelas Ba'ones, right? And so the Chacham just said to him, what do you mean? That the pain is so much greater, Rahman al-Islam, if a person is raped, as opposed to if a person's, you know, a woman is, you know, is loses her hymen with her husband. So then he does have to pay for the besulim, right, that he broke him when he raped it. And so again, Shimon ben Yehuda, right, again, what's he doing? You don't have to pay the tsar, right? You don't have to pay, because eventually, like, that's going to happen anyway. So the Chol of Shimon ben Yehuda is the one, right, who holds that you're not going to have to pay for the fact that the vine is now more meshubach, has more, you know, has the nutrients in there. The Chol again, because he's the one, right? There's some sort of benefit, right? There's a benefit. Now you're not going to have that pain in the future, right? The Chol that is, I don't want to say exactly parallel, but that seems to be the same concept that he is employing. Amar Abaye says, Hanu Tanai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amru Davar Echad. Certain Tanaim, which we're going to quote in a second, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and again, said, holding the same thing. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda had Amram, where we just said, Hai Tanai Maihi, what's the Tanaim that we're holding? The Tanaim, the Nebraisa, again, a different case, also not related to what we said before, but again, same concept underlying it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nacha Chaya. Right, then if Rahman al-Islam, two people are fighting, right, and they hit the pregnant woman, it caused the woman to lose a baby, so you have to pay for it to make vlados. Rabbi Yossi says that you're gonna subtract the you know, whatever it costs to get a midwife or a doula, right? Because obviously there's no birth going on. Ben Azi Omer Deme Neche Mizonos, you take out a bunch of ways to understand what that, exactly that means in Rishonim. Right? Rashi understands that that's the amount of food that the husband would have to feed, right? A more, obviously, more pregnant wife needs more pregnant food, and she has carrying another baby, right? And has another person in there. You know, when she's pregnant, so you take away that extra amount of food that now the husband does not have to pay anymore. And again, that's the same idea, that since there's some sort of benefit, even though you're damaging someone, there's still some sort of benefit there, you're going to take out that money from the monetary payment, and therefore you're not going to have to pay, the damager is not going to have to pay that. So going to one who says that you take away for the you know, the midwife, culture gain, certainly you have to pay, take away for the food. But the one who says, Benazai, who says that you take away from the food, but you don't have to necessarily take out the payment for the midwife, because it's a didi, right? I could say, right, I don't need a midwife, right? I don't need a doula, right? Not everybody gives birth with a midwife and a doula, reminiscent of this week's Parsha, right? That's what Rabbi Leibowitz calls a dafiomi coincidence, that this week's Parsha, Shifra and Pua, right? Paro tells them to kill the firstborn boys. And they say, right, something to the fact of Jewish women are like chayos, they are like animals and they give birth on their own, they don't need midwives. Okay, fine. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Avod, Uvda, Kavasi, Rav Nachum, Veshishim. And sure enough, again, we pass in there, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua. They paskin with Rav Nachman that, again, they would actually, this tree, right, this tree that they asked at the beginning of our today's story, right, was Beshishim. They evaluated Beshishim. Lishne Chuna and other people say that Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Breda, Rav Yeshua, Shamu, Dikla, Agav, Ketina, De'ara, right, they actually cheshbened it out based on a small part of land that had 60 trees, pashtas, and then Hilchos of Kavasa, the Rapala, Ravuna, Brave, Ravushua, the Bedikal de Arma. But if you have a Dikal de Arma, a palm tree of Armenia, I'm not sure, Armenia, whatever, so that would be Armenia, whatever it is. That would be like them. Hilchos of Kavasa, the Rishkalusa, Bedikal Parsa, but in a Persian palm tree, so that would be like the Rishkalusa, because apparently Persian palm trees, Rashi says over here, Choshevu Ma'od. Apparently it would be evaluated on its own. It's like a very valuable item. Okay, fine. Eliezer, the young one, or the small one. Pashas is probably referring to his humility, as we'll see in a second. Have a sign, Misane Uchme, right? He was wearing black shoes. That was, supposedly a sign for people to be in mourning, right, about Yerushalayim, about the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Bishuk of Denarada, he went out, and again, nowadays everybody wears black shoes, but all right, anyway, back in the day, apparently that was unique. And he went into the Shuk in Narada, and Ashkechuni, the Bei Reish Galusa, again, sure enough, the officers, right, the Bei Reish Galusa, the people in the house of the Beish Galusa, the police force, you know, saw him. Amar Leh, they said, Maishna Hani Mesani, why are you wearing these shoes? Amar Leh, Tkama Bilna Yerushalayim, I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. Amar Leh, At Chashivas, Leis Abule Yerushalayim, are you chashiv enough to mourn for Yerushalayim all the time? Right, that's not basically that you have to be Talmid Chacham to do that all the time. You can't just, not everybody's opting to that mourning all the time, right? Jew has to be Besimcha as much as he can, right? And to, as opposed to you wearing this in public. So Amar Leh said to him, At Chashivas Leitabulilush. Sorry, yeah. So Savar, Yuhara Hava, they thought he was being excessively, you know, Yuhara is like Gaiva, had excessive Gaiva. Which is you know, the very interesting applications of the concept of Yura throughout the Gemara. But basically, if a person pretends to be, you know, super frum, right, and that was inappropriate. So Asiv Chavshu Asher, now they threw him in jail for that. Amar Lehu, he said to them, Gavra Abba, and he said, leave me alone. I'm a Gavra Abba, I'm a Amitam Chacham. So Amar Lehu said to him, Manya Dinan, well, how do we know? So Amar Lehu, he said, Atum bo minei milsa, o ana eve minaychu milsa. Right? Either you ask me a kasha, or I'll ask you a kasha. So Amar Lehu, they said, Boyat, you ask a kasha. So Amar Lehu, he said to them, Haiman de cuts kufra, my mishalim. A guy who cuts down dates that have just budded, so what does he pay? Amar Lehu, mishalim to make kufra. He's meaning pay the value of the dates he cut. The Gemara says, but they eventually will become, you know, fully ripe dates. So Amar Leh said to him, Mishalim de Beitamre. Fine. So they should Mishalim de Beitamre, so they should pay fully ripe dates. Amar Leh of Halo Lav Tamre Shagol Mine. But he didn't cut down fully ripe dates. So Amar Leh, they said to him, fine, you got us, stumped us. Amar Lat An. Imalan At. So you tell me what the halacha is. So Amar Leh, so he said back to them, Bashishim, right? And you evaluate based on Shishim like we've been learning. Amar Leh, Man Amar Kavaseh. He said, okay, that's a nice theory, but who says like you? So Amar Lehu, he said, "Hi, Hashmuel Chai Beis Dino Kayim." Shmuel is alive. His Beis Din is sitting down. So I ask them a shayla. Shadru Kamei the Shmuel and Amar Lehu. Right, Shapur Kamei Luchu B'Shishim. Sure enough, they sent a message to him, and Shmuel backed him up. Said, "Yeah, you have to pay Shishim." B'Shavku, right, and they let him go. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon said, "Akla Peres." Again, you pay the value of the Peres that you ate. My time, or why is that? Right, again, how the Amar Rachmona ubir b'sdei acher, malamish shaman agav hasada, right? Hani mili needed the tzarich hasada. Right, that is only right if you eat, you know, something that needs the field. Meaning, when you eat something that needs a field, you value it based on the field. And I, but honey, by the case of fruit which is already ripe, right? Peres gemurim, right? Completely full fruit that's already stopped nursing, you know, getting life nourishment from the field. So came to the tzarich hasada. You have to pay for their own evaluation. Okay, so Tanakama, right, the whole obviously disagrees. Right, so Amar Rav Huna Baruch Hu, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Abba, Dan Rav Karabi Meir, Pas Hilkasa Karabi Shimla. Right, he held like Rabbi Meir, meaning that it was, as we'll see in a second, a different case, not our case, but here, where he held like Rabbi Shimon. But that was the halacha, like we just quoted. Again, since it's not, you know, based growing based on the field, so then it is no longer evaluated that way. Dan Rav Kerbi Meir, what case was that? The Tanya is willing to Rabbeisa Kasa Larishon Velo Chas Malo. The case, the husband, basically, what happened was the husband. This is a completely different case, nothing to do with anything. Right, we had in Ksubas. The husband basically sold two fields while during the marriage, right, between him and his wife, and then he wrote the and usually what used to be, right, that the woman, right, would agree to the sale, because usually the land would be a lien, right, for the woman's ksuba. So what happened was, right, Kasav Lerishon Velo Chas Malo, right, he wrote a ksav, meaning he wrote a shtar, right, to sell the first field, right, and the wife didn't sign that. But then when he sold the second one, Vlasheni, he wrote a shtar Vilchas Malo, and then she signed on that, and she was moda, right, that was okay, meaning she was happy to sell the second field, i.e. she was moda, she would not collect the ksuba, right, from the second field, but she never did that by the first field. And then, sure enough, of course, of the Ksubasa. I mean, then in that case, well, not of course. I mean, that's what she did. So in that case, she has lost her ksuba, because the second one, meaning she definitely can't collect over there, because again, that wasn't necessarily the ksuba. The first field that was sold, right, wasn't her ksuba, because he still had another field. And then When he sold the second field, she was moda. She said it was okay for him to sell it. So that is already right. Her ksuba, that is what is sold, and then she has nothing, you know, to get if a husband dies or divorces her. Every marriage. The Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Chol hishat Omer nachas ruach asiti lebali atem ma'alachem alai." Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, she can say back to him, what do you mean? I was just trying to make, you know, make my husband happy, right? What are you doing against me? I mean, what are you dealing with me?" Meaning she could say, "I only signed second star, right, so the 100, you know, to try and, you know, save the marriage or make everything fine, which all unbiased, etc., right?" But the Rabbi Yehoshua disagrees, and Rav held it, and Rabbi Meir, that she actually, right, forfeited, she lost her ksuba over there. Rabbi Shimon, right, and held like Rabbi Shimon, like this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Achla Peres Gemurim, Mishamas Peres Gemurim, right, and Sasayim, right, again, if you ate this Peres Gemurim, this fully ripe produce, then you pay the value of the produce, you don't pay the, what's called, you don't pay the, you don't pay the value based on, you know, the field and shishim, etc., etc. Okay, let's get to the next Mishnah, because that is going to be really a new topic. Tomorrow we're going to start the topic of Eish. Here we have one more topic of kind of the fields and stuff like that. Magdish b'soch sedei chavero shelo b'rishos. Again, we kind of saw this already. But if a person piles up grain in the field of his friend without rishos, v'achlosin behemto shel balasada, right, so in that case, potter, right, if the animal of the guy who piled your grain in, of the guy whose field you piled your grain in without rishos, the animal comes and eats it, so then obviously the guy who owns the field does not have to pay you for the grain. And if the animal gets damaged, the guy who piled the grain there is going to be chayev. Obviously it's not shame, but in a case where, let's say, you tripped or whatever, it's fine. Then and if you did it with permission, then balasoda chayev, then the balasoda is chayev. The Gemara says, limit to look at Rabbi, maybe it's against Rabbi, Rabbi, if you, again, if it was like Rabbi, right, Hamar, again, here we're assuming, right, in the second case, right, that if you just put it there with Rishos, right, so then he's going to be chayev. So that, Rebbe had said that you need, the Bala Sada has to explicitly, right, beferish say that he's going to be Shomer, the Gadish, or he's going to be Shomer anything that you put in his field. So Rabbi says, benatar be'dariyaskina. No, it could be that our Mishnah is talking about a guy, right, who watches over fields, or watches over grains that are stored by him, and to give it, Aisle Gadosh, right? The Aisle Ve'enter Lecho, who, right, maybe could be the moment he says, "Bring your grain into my field." So then, that is right. Since that's his job, right? That is what he is saying. That he means that he'll watch it over, and therefore he would be chayev, right, if something happened to it. Fine. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah. We'll go back to the Hadagashas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.